It's the Plan B After Show podcast with Brock and Hunter. It's not better, just more.
Oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Are you wearing a tank top, you douchebag?
You got your little tank top on and your backwards cap, you douchebag.
Dude, look at this. What are we going to spring break?
Dude.
So bad.
You know what? Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, first of all, I just realized mine's inside out. So I got that going for me, which is nice.
Nice.
So I have not worn, honestly, this is the first morning I threw on a tank top because lots of times when we do the... like I'm shitting myself. Usually when we do this, we're doing the show, we're doing videos and stuff. So I'll throw a shirt on, but this morning I was like, ah, fuck it. It was the closest thing. So I popped on the tank top. I threw on the backwards cap. I turn on my Zoom and you are literally wearing
the exact same thing. It is tank top o'clock. What is the date today? The 29th of May, 2020. It is tank top day. That is what we're calling it.
Apparently.
If you have a backwards hat and your skin is burned up a little bit, you got a tank top, wear it today.
Unbelievable. There's days where I'm like, no, I'm not that much like Hunter. I'm not that much of a piece of shit. And then this happens.
Dude, I literally open up the Zoom and look. I'm like, no way. How many times have we done this? How many times have we done
at least Zoom? Probably, let's see, 5, 10, 15, like 20, at least 20 times, over 20 times.
Over 20 times, for sure. And we just happened to open up the Zoom today, both wearing a tank top.
Unbelievable. And backwards hat. God, this is terrible. This is just...
It's meant to be, dude.
It's meant to be.
Cheers.
It's meant to be. Good God. All right. Well, it's Friday. Let's get right to it. Your Plan B After Show podcast, as always, brought to you by Gilson Cycle, 1492 Pipestone Road in Benton Harbor, ready to make sure your motorcycle is road ready. Your two wheels are ready to hit the pavement. 269-876-0882. Also find them on Facebook. Gilson Cycle bringing it to you. Friday, we do five facts, five opinions. You ready there, buddy?
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it. Here we go. Fact number one, opinion number one. The three highest grossing media franchises of all time are Pokemon, Hello Kitty, and Winnie the Pooh.
Wow.
Winnie the Pooh, huh? Yeah, Mickey Mouse and other Disney characters are fourth. Star Wars is fifth. Hello Kitty is the second.
God, Star Wars is fifth.
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
You would think that would be up there at the top.
I just can't believe Hello Kitty is. But you know what? And I it's probably because it's so big over in Asia, like Japan and China and everything. And you think about the billions of people over there, they're probably just going ham on some Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty is pretty big.
I'm surprised that Winnie the Pooh is higher grossing than...
Why? Winnie the Pooh's a pussy, first off. So is Christopher Robin. Just a bunch of softies.
You know what? If you watch, Winnie the Poohs...
Oh, you know, it's the only good one in there. What was it? Tigger?
Yeah, you got Tigger.
Tigger, he was all jacked up on cocaine.
I always like Eeyore just on the verge of murdering himself.
Eeyore was good, too.
Yeah.
He was.
Well, you know, I kind of...
Just looking for material.
Poor Eeyore. You got Tigger bounce around annoying the fuck out of him. It's like, God, Tigger, leave him alone, man. He just wants to be alone, hanging out. God. Yeah, Tigger, I'm pretty sure, was on crack.
Yeah, he was. He was on Bassoff. You're bouncing on your tail, dude. You're on something.
You are coked the F up. All right, there you go. Fact number one, opinion number one. Fact number two, opinion number two. 1 month before Seinfeld debuted in 1989, Jason Alexander won a Tony for Best Leading Actor in a Musical for Jerome Robbins Broadway.
Well, is that the reason why he got the Seinfeld gig?
Maybe. Yeah, I know he's done actually a lot of Broadway stuff during Seinfeld and after Seinfeld and everything like that. So, of course, Seinfeld gave him the money to just do whatever the fuck he wants at any point in time.
Didn't he lose a bunch of weight? Didn't he?
I think he slimmed up a little bit. I don't think he's ever been like a skinny, you know, like jacked guy. But, yeah, I think he shed some pounds recently. So,
Jason Alexander,
bro.
I wonder what Kramer's doing now. I haven't heard much from Kramer since he did that whole racial thing.
Yeah, he had that stand-up video that went viral where, you know, he repeated the N-word multiple times, and that pretty much sunk the ship.
I mean, dude, it's always going to sink the ship. I mean, you think you're going to say that and the ship's not going to sink?
Seinfeld actually had him on his Comedians in Cars getting coffee, and he talked about it, and he was like, you know, thanks to really honestly, Jerry, for being there for me. And I don't know why. I'll never forget this. I remember watching it live, and it was on Letterman, and it was shortly after all this happened. It was shortly after, maybe like
and Jerry was sitting there right with him, wasn't he?
With him. Yeah. And I'll never forget how awkward it was, because at one point, and you know what? I will say, I'll give Jerry credit, when you allow something, not for facilitating it, I guess, or or allowing it or making it okay. God, I can't think of the fucking
word. But just being there, sitting down in there, and being, you know, a face in the situation where you had really nothing to do with it. You know?
And I think he did it because he knew I can't think of the guy's name. I just call him Kramer. If you went on the show by himself, it probably would have ended horribly. But I remember Jerry sitting there and Kramer, the guy who played Kramer, whatever his name is, he said Afro-Americans, which is not a proper term. It may seem better, but Afro-Americans, it's not.
Oh, man.
That's still a very derogatory term.
Keep digging a hole.
He said it, and then the crowd was like, is this guy for, like, they kind of laughed, like, is he for real? Because he's trying to do his apology. He says Afro-Americans, and then the crowd laughs, and Jerry goes, it's not funny. He like looks at the crowd, and it's like, ooh, this is super awkward. You know what I mean?
You're right. It's not funny. It's not, dude, awkward. I remember how awkward that was. Yep.
I remember seeing that on TV, and it's still like, that's one of those things that, like, because it's so
all because you were on a TV show that was number one.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
I mean, I'm not that it's okay, but I'm sure that phrase and term is used every day billions of times. Because you're on Seinfeld, you got to go on national TV. I mean, it's just weird. It's a weird situation, you know?
I will always remember him being on Letterman, him and Jerry. And oh my God.
Here's what was weird about it too, man. It's like, you're just so used to Kramer being just Kramer, you know, crazy funny, you know, and when he goes on TV and you see him just beaten, like different tone of voice, the totally different demeanor. Like you see the person behind the actor as well.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah. It definitely wasn't Kramer. No, it was not. You know? So anyway, there you go. Well, that went from Jason Alexander on Broadway to Kramer.
Yes. Yeah. All right. You got a good fact over there. Let's bring it back.
The winner of the first Indianapolis 500 in 1911 had an average speed of just under 75 miles per hour. Last year's winner averaged 176 miles per hour.
Wow.
Dude, but back then in 1911, going 75, they were probably losing.
Dude, you're still dying. You're still a ball of fire, dude. If you make one wrong turn, you know.
Some of those old racings, like you watch like the old motorcycle chariot races. Have you ever seen those?
Not even like wearing seatbelts.
No.
Do the old chariots. Yeah. Dude, racing back in the day was just like, here it is. You know, like I got a few guys. We built a car.
Yeah.
Hopefully it makes it around the track.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't, you're probably going to die.
Yeah.
So you want to do it? Hell,
good luck. It'll be your first and last race. Enjoy it.
Dude, I'm not signing up for that race. Yeah, like right now. Yeah, dude, it's safer now at the speeds they're going now with the equipment they have compared to what it was back. You can go slower back in the day, but still.
Yeah.
You're flying out of the car. You're landing upside.
You're dead. Okay. This is a pretty crazy fact. 4% of the sand on Normandy's beaches is broken down shrapnel from D-Day.
Oh, man. Dude, any fact coming from that D-Day is
just almost doesn't even seem real. As someone living in the day and age,
read that one more time.
4% of the sand on Normandy's beaches is broken down shrapnel from D-Day. 4%. That means if you get, what would it be? 10 pounds? No. That's what would it be?
Yeah, 10 pounds. I don't know. That's tough. An ounce is what?
Yeah. How would you do that?
16 ounces in a pound. So 4 times 4.
160 ounces.
Divided by carry the A. What solve X?
I feel like we should be able to do this. I don't know.
There's a lot. Yeah, it's sad.
Well, no. If you did 100 pounds, 4 pounds of that would be shrapnel. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, seems right.
Yeah, because 4% of 100 would be 4. So if you did 100 pounds of sand from Normandy, 4 pounds of that would be shrapnel sand.
Shrapnel and just, yeah.
Dude.
Bullet casings and shavings.
But you know what I was saying there is like, you know, I know what happened. I've watched countless documentaries and movies and retellings and interviews. But where I sit as a person in the time that I live in, it does not seem real that there's this massive, massive war and just so many people
it's
killed.
The thing that keeps going back to my brain when I think about past wars, man, is like, it's like, okay, first off, holy shit, that was real. Number two is like, for me, it's just like, because I wasn't living through it. Like, why?
Yeah.
Why? It's hard for me to like wrap my brain around just millions of people dying. Yeah. I know you're dying for a certain reason, dying, but like, it's just hard for me to wrap my brain around war. You got to murder all these people.
How many people volunteered to go across? You know, so many of those Americans probably haven't even been out of their home state.
Right.
You know, and now they're like, oh yeah, we're going to send you across the seas to fight, you know, Nazis that are methed up. You know,
it's just like, to me, it's like being a human. Like, can't you just like get a hold of the other side and be like, hey, man, you probably don't want all your guys slayed either, right?
You know?
Kind of sucks. Like, can we figure this out? Can we just do, like, a massive, like...
I think that's what's so crazy about it is that the mindset of these people... And I'm sure there was a lot of people on the German side that were like, okay, this seems a little crazy, but also,
No, 100%. I just watched that World War II in HD, or some of it, man, because I had to turn it off, dude. It was getting me pretty depressed.
Yeah.
But they were saying, yeah, they go into camps, like Nazi camps, and the German soldiers were already white flagging.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, we don't want to be here. We don't want to do this.
Yep.
Like, blah. And a lot of the guys that were interviewed in this documentary, they were saying we made friends with them, but we had to, like, do certain things to keep them prison, you know.
Punishment for not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, right.
It was a weird thing, man. Could you imagine?
No. And see, we're almost spoiled in that sense. We don't have the same thing with the Vietnam War, having the draft and everything. Like, I mean,
I think Vietnam was different. I think they were walking around bayonets, slaying people, just making sure they were dead. I think Vietnam was completely
different. Well, Vietnam's a different beast, but I'm saying they had the draft, though. So you had people here that, you know, like, right, you know, there was a lot of volunteers for World War II. And for Vietnam, it's like, sorry, bud, you're going over to North Vietnam and fighting people, and it's crazy. It's nuts.
And then coming back from war, from Vietnam, just imagine Vietnam and not really being accepted because
– yeah.
What was going on over there, dude?
What, dude? I mean, you can be coming back, having to go back to a normal life. Let's say you were a school teacher and you went over to war. You went over to the beaches of Normandy, killing people, and then you got to come back to just a normal life,
life,
dude.
Imagine that. Imagine it, man. You got to put yourself in the shoe. You can't really.
That's the hard part.
That's why you got to respect so much, you know, especially during the certain days. Dude, could you imagine having that on your mind?
Dude,
we're doing everyday life. You know,
I get scared. I get scared doing water gun fights, let alone real bullets flying at me. God's sakes! All right, there you go.
Yeah, thank you guys. Thank you to all the vets. I know.
Oh yeah.
Any special day, but man, we do think about you guys a lot. And
you allow us to sit here and get paid to tell fart jokes and talk about shit we don't know anything about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Man. All right. We'll end with this last one. This is kind of a dumb fact. The third richest country in the Western Hemisphere, Trinidad and Tobago. Wait, that's the third richest. I don't know. It's the highest. It's the third highest GDP per capita behind the United States and Canada. That was a dumb fact. I ruined this whole podcast with that stupid fact.
Yeah, that
fact.
Sucked.
Should've
hey, it's your birthday, though.
Fact. Hey, yeah, it's my birthday.
Birthday.
It's my party, and I'll cry if I want to.
I must say, I'm very proud of you for not even budging. Not even budging. You didn't say shit this morning about your birthday.
Here's the thing. It's like, look, I appreciate it. I don't want to come off as ungrateful when, you know, people like Kiki decorated or wish me happy birthday. But right, I'm just at this point in my life where I don't want people to fuss over my birthday. Same thing with like gifts. I told my mom, I'm like, Mom, seriously, don't. It's like holidays now. I'm at the age where I just don't fuss over me. Like, there's no need to fuss. It's just a birthday. I'm not going to be upset. Like,
yeah, I know, but yeah, know? I mean, people like it. People, you know, you're a good dude. People like you. They want to have you have a good day.
It's the main. But if you think if by wishing me happy birthday means I'm going to wish you happy birthday, think again. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I do it 34.
I'm 34.
See, you know what's crazy is like you turning 34 made me think, oh, yeah, I'm 34. I'm going to be turning 35. I forgot, dude.
Yeah,
you turned 35. I literally forgot the other day. Like, somebody asked me, and I was like, 34, right? That's what I said, 34. I looked at at Amanda. I was like, right? She was like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're halfway to your 40s, bro, you old bag of shit.
Yeah. What are you doing? Come on, what? Let's do a shot or something.
I don't have any beer on me. All my beer's in the fridge.
I know.
We'll do a shot later. I'm tired. I'm going to go take a nap is what I'm going to go do.
She could really consider kayaking tomorrow, dude. It'd be like, we could have a tube, and I'll put a cake on a tube. How about that?
Lake cake. I love it.
Lake cake.
Tube
nice.
Cake. I haven't even thought about it. That's how I'm just like, yeah, we'll figure it out. I don't want any set plans. I don't want to have to be anywhere. And if that makes sense, like if we go kayaking, I may sleep in, I may be up early. I have no idea. We're going to, we'll figure it out. So, but I'm taking a nap today. I'm going to get a workout in. And then we got, you know, our food coming later. So I'm looking forward to it. So I got a nice,
are you going to run on your fan bike?
I'm going to get a good workout on my fan bike, sweating it to the oldies. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for us. The Plan B After Show podcast brought to you by Gilson Cycle, 1492 Pipestone Road in Benton Harbor, or you can give them a call. 269-876-0882. Gilson Cycle, getting your vehicles, your two-wheel vehicles, running the right way. All right, we will see you next time on the After Show podcast. Bye.
You ain't coming.
I can't. Come on, what's the matter? Your old lady won't let you?
Yeah, what's the matter? Your mama said you can't?
My bike quit, all right?
It's my bike. My bike! My bike!
What's the matter with you? Oh,
just a nightmare, woman. Go back to sleep.
Don't let a broken bike blow your chance to ride.
Gilson Cycle eliminates nightmares with quick service turnaround on most motorcycles. See Larry Gilson at Gilson Cycle, Napier and Pipestone, Benton Harbor.